everybody. Welcome back to Walnut Grove and Walnut Grove Cast. This is Christopher. No, I'm sorry. This is Pale Rider, because we have a new co-host, another Chris, and Chris Cooling.
Hello.
Welcome. I just didn't know how we're going to differentiate between... Call me Biff. Call me Biff. Uh-huh. And Mark,
hello.
You're here.
I am still here.
You might hear explosions in the background.
Yeah,
I don't know if
definitely
there's
hear explosions.
Police activity going on somewhere. I don't know what's going on, but we're here. If you haven't guessed by the opening theme,
I'm sorry, I just have to interrupt you. It's ironic that where you live, Chris, you have all these explosions and everything, and where Chris lives is in Texas, where there really should be these sounds in the background.
I think there's, a big, isn't there a big protest going on there tonight, I think.
Yeah. Is there any way you can go down there, Chris, live, and get some thoughts Little House? Man on the street. Well, what do you think about Carrie falling in the well?
I'll have to change microphones for that.
Run towards the gunfire.
Can I show you a clip?
Did you see the episode with Willis? So we are actually in season 4 for this episode, as you can tell by that opening theme, because it finally underscores Carrie falling during the credits.
Yes.
It goes da da da.
Yeah, the
worst, and that's when Carrie falls on.
I was going to say that's definitely not a season 1 opening.
No.
It, you know, this song really grows on you too the more you listen to it.
It does. It does. And we are, you know, everybody talks about when they think Little House, classic Little House episodes, they think of classic disturbing Little House episodes. They think of the rape by the mime. They think of Albert burning down the blind school. They think of Albert on heroin. But today we're doing actually one of the episodes that I find truly disturbing. And it's powerful, but it's also – it's actually kind of funny in the way it's overwrought. There's a Woody Allen movie. It was his first serious movie that he did called Interiors.
Sure.
And he was swinging so far for the rafters in terms of being super-duper serious and wanting to be taken seriously that the whole thing is just a laugh riot. And this episode, My Ellen – of Little House is equal measure disturbing for me.
It's
partially absurd, especially the denouement, the ending of this. But you know, as an adult with kids, I do understand, you know, it does really hit me in a certain place. Chris, do you have kids or?
I do not. I do have nephews and a niece.
Ah, are you like 19 or I was just
no,
curious.
He's your age, Chris.
Oh, are you?
We're all in the same age range, I think.
Are we really? Okay.
I'm definitely old enough to have watched the full run of Little House from when it was on the first time.
What are you, 18? No. So, you know what's interesting about this episode? It opens up with Carrie running. And I cannot.
I just watched
the Carrie episode where she fell down the well. And do you both recall that episode?
I do.
And I can, even when she falls in the opening credits, I'm like, it's like she's going to fall down the well. Nobody's paying attention to Carrie. Ever.
Except now, maybe they're saying, oh, Jesus, Carrie, come on.
And I also think it's weird that in the opening credits, it says Sydney Lindsay
Greenbush. Greenbush.
But those are two different people. They shouldn't they put a slash?
Or an and?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was just her full name, and then I was looking in the credits the other day. I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah, it was quite a while before it was known in our house that that was actually two girls.
I wonder how how Sydney's family said, all right, Sydney, you're getting the credits.
Alphabetical, definitely. Alphabetical.
It's funny. This episode, I think, features the most Carrie dialogue from what is intelligible, except for that brilliant episode, which was my second choice to do tonight, the Carrie Dreamland episode. But we'll get there.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that. I'm still getting over the mine episode.
But Carrie has some great lines here. Like, I just cannot understand
the
thing.
What about
saying.
The boys when they're watching them get out of the water?
Yes, don't get there. Don't give it away. I want to play
it's
that
just
clip.
Carrie.
So if not only that, look, there's a lot of reasons why this show is disturbing to me. You know, the main thing being, as everybody knows, what the episode is about: a child dies. A family loses their, 12-year-old girl?
Yeah, she's 12.
It turns out it's her birthday, like
That's
in
right.
days.
Yes, I forgot.
Like, oh, and, you know, you can tell, written, directed, Michael Landon, something bad is going down on this one. And as soon as you see her, Ellen, my Ellen, oh, she's dead meat. And
I think in the Michael Landon episodes, he likes to get a search team going. For
vigilantes,
yes.
Vigilantes,
with torches.
But you know, in reality, the real Pa was kind of a vigilante in a lot of ways. You know,
he was, but it's like is well, we'll get there. Yeah. I mean, just to set up this episode, so suddenly Laura and Mary and Carrie, I guess, have a friend we've never seen before.
Cares. Another one,
and her name is Ellen, and we're introduced to her. Whoa, that's getting closer.
The aliens are coming.
And, you know, Laura has a great idea for everybody at the start of the show. So I don't know if you want to play that clip just to set this up.
You're talking about the Ellen asks which clip? I'm sorry, number two?
It would be Cliff. Yep.
Oh, here we go.
Well, now.
Well, you ran home. You must be kind of anxious to get to your chores.
I am, Mama, but the Inca girls are going swimming today, and I wondered if...
Oh. If you could go with them.
Yes. Tomorrow's Saturday. I'll do double my work. Please?
Did you do well in school today?
Yes, Mom. She did great. Even better than Mary.
I did my best. That's plenty. You be sure and be home before dark.
Okay, thank you, Mom. Come on.
Carrie.
No. Oh, Carrie.
Laura's hair is very light in this episode. Did you notice this?
Laura or Mary?
Laura.
I think Mary's is, too.
Mary's like an albino sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. With those eyes, it like really...
yeah, it looks through you. It's like, oh my God.
Freaks you out.
Put on some sunglasses.
Wow. Whoa. Ellen? The actress who plays Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
Was in Prophecy?
Yes, I saw that.
She's in Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains? Wow, holy cow.
But then nothing.
But then, yeah, from 1982.
It's like the Ouch. Early 80s, and the amount of cocaine and everything, it slowed everybody down. They were sped up. Not to say she ever did any drugs or anything, but it seems as though the early 80s swallowed a lot of people up.
So the girls go swimming, and here's where I was getting uncomfortable because, all right, these girls, whatever their age groups are, Laura, Mary's the oldest. What is she, maybe 16, 17?
Ooh, you think that old? No, I'm thinking 14, 15.
Mary?
Yeah.
I would have thought...
15.
Really?
14.
All right, but the thing is, and Isn't Carrie, she's... and Carrie, and they're all going swimming naked. Now,
skinny dipping. That's what you did in the 1800s.
Okay. I was like, wow, that's because
well,
here
I'm
comes.
I'm sure they didn't own a swimsuit.
It's true.
I guess.
I think that's just the way it was.
This is portraying it on TV, though. Like maybe they could have packed away something or other. I don't know. One piece.
Well, this, I think them skinny dipping allowed us to introduce the character, the Peeping Tom character, not the boys, but the. Big Lug.
They mention this other character
Busby.
We've never seen before, never heard before, never will see again.
Yeah,
Busby, and they're like, no, don't cut across his land. They're afraid of him for some reason, and we don't know why. I'm not really sure it's ever explained, but we'll get there. But we do see him peering menacingly.
But we see him peering menacingly behind some shrubbery. But
right,
then they show
land.
But you can barely see him. And then they show the two boys. So I'm like, all right, it must have been the boys. I didn't even know Busby was a character until much later.
Right. It's kind of a subplot that goes nowhere.
Right.
But so the boys are watching these naked girls in the lake. So I don't know if you want to play that clip.
All right, here we go.
This is my favorite line.
You see anything?
No, can you?
Uh-uh. Too far away.
Hey, one of them's getting out.
Yeah?
Hello?
Are we still on?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello?
I can't now. It's
hello?
Am I still on?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys just died out.
Yeah, the whole stream just...
You guys just died out. Just as they were getting to that line.
Yes, exactly. You may have to edit that in.
Yeah, well, it recorded on my end. So basically, I played the clip, and then I said, was that the end of the clip, Chris? And then I didn't hear anything. So we'll just, I'll get rid of this little bit of space.
But then the boys, so right there, I mean, the boys are peering at Carrie naked. I mean, I don't know, that sends shivers down my spine.
But they're not really, they're accidentally seeing Carrie naked.
I mean, I guess they're not playing with their pud, but still.
Disappointingly. Yeah. Disappointingly, it's only Carrie. Oh, it's only Carrie.
Oh, God, it ruined it. Ruined it.
Was it me?
I'm not going to get hard again.
I mean, at least one of these kids seems a little bit too young to be even interested in this sort of thing.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it was the 1800s.
But then
so I think on the ages, at this point, this is season 4. So.
Right.
Wasn't it established that Laura was 8 years old in season 1? So okay. She would be 11.
11 or 12.
And she's Carrie would be about Ellen's 7.
Age. That would make sense. Yeah.
Right. Carrie would be 7 years old at this point. And Mary's supposed to be a couple of years older than Laura. So she's supposed to be around 13. So okay. I think that's the ages we're to believe that the actresses are really a little bit older. But
Mary, certainly.
The characters are supposed to be, I think, 11, 13, and 7 years old.
Right. Now, so at this time, the girls notice that the boys are watching. So they all kind of go under. And when do we last see Ellen?
When the boys are discovered running away and Laura, damn you, Laura. Says under the water, and it's hard to understand what happened.
Right, because they're in like 4 feet of water.
It seemed like it wasn't like a river or anything. It seemed to be a lake that you know, there was no rough waters or anything to carry her away.
Leg cramp, you know, like I'm not really sure what happened, except that Carrie really made a quick exit. So maybe Carrie did something. No? Guess not.
It's definitely left unexplained. It's not dwelt on at all. It's not.
Yeah, and for the purposes of this show, you don't need to. As I forget who it was. I think it's Pa that says later on, you know, these things just happen.
Right.
It's not your fault. But
by the way, there's a moment coming later where I'm completely confusing because it seems as though Pa is trying to kill his friend at the water wheel thing. I'll bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of comedy shtick that.
But he could have killed him.
It's
just like his daughters killed Ellen.
These Ingalls.
They're crazy. Like they're out of their minds. They're drunk with aggression and hatred.
Did I give you a longer clip after the boys say, "Oh, it's only Carrie," where the boys are discovered?
Yeah, you want to hear that?
Yeah, only because Carrie has an extended dialogue, and I'm just wondering if you guys can make out what she says.
All right, here we go.
can see a lot better here.
Boobies.
Sure they don't see ya.
I won't. Sure wish they'd swim over this way.
What you doing?
We're just fishing.
What are you fishing with?
Nothing yet. We were just looking for a nice little willow branch to make a fishing pole.
Laura has an extra pole hidden around here. She'll loan it to you. Laura! There's a mice here that want to see you!
Think they're still there?
I don't know.
Oh, I'd like to punch them. There they go. Come on, let's get our stuff back on in case they come back.
Hey, Ellen, it's all right. They're gone. Hey, Ellen, come on. We're going to dry off in case they come back.
Well, I mean, maybe her foot got caught on one of these weird...
Ellen, where are you?
Ellen!
Man, next thing you know, the torches are out.
Let's bring out the men with torches in the dark.
I get like a Frankenstein vibe all of a sudden.
And especially later when they go after Busby.
Yeah, Busby. Poor Busby.
Now, you at know this point, something went down when men with torches are out at night.
Yeah, I saw Young Frankenstein. Same thing.
They find the girl. She's dead. It's unfortunate. But at this point, and here's where I'm like taking it personally, because like I would not know how I would do in such a scenario.
You would do horribly. This is, you know, it's a tragedy. It's one of these things that shouldn't happen, and there's no way to really deal with this kind of thing correctly.
But Mom, Ellen's mother, really goes off the deep end. And in my notes, I kept calling her Pazuzu because it just reminded me, like, she just kept acting so demonic and possessed.
Yes.
And we get a brief bit of that with the funeral scene. I don't know if you want to play that.
Yeah.
It's a long clip,
but I think it's worth it.
It's a long clip, but then right after that is where Father Merrin goes to visit.
Oh my God. I was watching with my wife. We went, whoa. Like
that book, when she throws it, really looked like it hit that poor old man.
I think I'm going to use that as our cover for the art. Holy cow. But here's the clip.
I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." God himself.
Father Merrin? Father Alden?
No, I know. I was.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Possession.
Shall be with them.
I forgot about
that. Be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither shall there be any more pain. For these former things are passed away.
Now, I'm just going to interrupt it again. I'm sorry. Now, this was a perfect episode to bring up the audio inconsistencies of Little House. Did you guys find that the audio is very low for this particular episode? Especially in moments. That. I'm sorry, Chris. What?
Do you
I
think
did
there's...
think that, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Sure.
What? Well, did either one of you have an issue with the audio?
I didn't because I was using my headphones in this time.
Yeah.
But I did...
Even so, at times it seemed it was a little low.
And I was cranking this, and I was like, whoa.
All the way.
And I remember when I was a kid, I used to have to turn the TV up loud in order to hear it, and my hearing's fine. But if you listen now, this is a quiet moment, you hear the background noise so loud, like the like that. So just listen to it. I can hear it in this scene.
Welcome this child, Ellen Taylor, into your house, O Lord, and help give strength to our loved ones in their time of sorrow. Amen.
No! No! Oh, please don't put her down there. Oh, God! No!
Her eyebrows are also way too thin for the 1870s. just FYI.
I don't think there was a Neiman Marcus at no. Walnut Grove.
I don't think the tweezer was invented for quite a few decades.
Ellen, baby. No, no. Oh, God, please. I thank you. Please. Please, God, make her come alive again. Please, God. Oh, God. Please, God. Oh, you did this. It was you.
Oh.
Well, it was. She's always asking my Ellen to go swimming. If it hadn't have been for you, my Ellen would have been home with me. Home with me. Home with me. She would have been home with me. Oh, God. Oh,
awful thing to say to a little girl.
Now would be a perfect time for words of encouragement, Reverend Alden. What words do you have to say to Laura in her time of persecution?
Does he actually say anything?
He says nothing to her.
Yeah, he just looks at her like kind of like, well, it is kind of your fault.
And that's another thing that I find like really upsetting about this episode is the psychological trauma that Laura is going through.
Right.
Like just... All right, the friend died while she was there. The mother is blaming her. The mother kidnaps her, locks her in the basement, you know, and Busby gets shot because of all of this.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. It means nothing to the plot, believe me.
You know, really is. Well, a little bit it does.
We'll get there. But just imagine a girl going through this, and I'm like... This thing is so fucked up.
Whoa.
She was. I'm sorry. I know. Sorry.
You made, every time he curses, I have to go back and bleep. So you're making me work now.
Sorry, but it's just so crazy what Michael Landon wants to do to this little girl in this episode. Like, I mean, just think of all and don't forget she was peered at by boys while she was naked. You know, right. It's just. They're just piling everything on this girl in this episode. It's amazing, and for somehow at the end she comes out unscathed.
Well, she's free.
She's compartmentalizing.
So we have.
So let's play the father Merritt.
Yeah,
father. I mean, mom just goes further and further into demonic possession.
She
now.
Even refers to the Bible as this damn book. And which I think is a real negative thing to do. Like it's a very anti-religious type of thing to say. But here we go.
I marked some pages in the Bible. Passages I thought might be of comfort to you.
Is that her Bible, you think, or is that a loaner?
I would think it's his.
Not his own personal, because his own personal was given to him by his father.
You know, they have them in the pews all the time.
So it seems like a nice Bible.
It's unclear.
Yeah. It's very heavy and thick.
As he's about to learn.
Just leave it over here on the bureau.
It's more of a dresser.
I'll stop by tomorrow.
Reverend.
Yes?
I asked God for a miracle today. I prayed by my baby's grave. I asked him to make her alive again. He could do that. He's done greater things than that.
Eloise, it is not.
Don't tell me it's not for me to question the ways of God. You're covering my baby out there with dirt. It'll be so dark. My Ellen was always so afraid of the dark. God doesn't care about me. And God doesn't care about Ellen. Don't you come around here anymore. You hear me? No more!
Eloise, it's all right. I'll go now.
Then take your damn book with you!
Oh, jeez. She's snapped.
She's over. She's over the edge.
Yeah, that's, you just can't do that. Some of your clips are a little long, so I'm just gonna...
I know, but I...
No, I understand. I just want to kind of... Charles consoling Laura is...
Laura's upset, and Charles just says...
He's showboating.
Some of these were for me, some of them were... You know, there were some I didn't even clip, but it just helps me to keep...
No, they're good. It also brings back the whole episode chronologically.
You know, and then the next clip is, to show how Mom is just spiraling and spiraling. Right. You know, she now moves to blaming the husband. And the music cues in this scene are just like...
Yeah, this whole episode has very weird music.
It does when they're showing this mother who's in her grief, but demonic possession. That's all I was thinking.
All right, I am going to play this clip. It's a little long, but I think it's worth it, like you said.
How long have you been away?
A while.
Listen, would you like for me to heat you some soup?
No,
but you should try it.
That girl's mother made the soup, didn't she?
Mrs. Ingalls just thought that
I know what she thought. She thought she'd cover up her daughter's guilt by being nice.
Eloise.
Do you remember this one? She painted that on my birthday. She loved bright colors. I don't know what's growing on these trees. Orange, lavender... Why weren't you home when she came from school?
What?
Why weren't you home?
It was still early. I was working.
If you would have been home, she wouldn't have gone. You wouldn't have let her.
Yes, I would.
Oh, no. You would have said chores first. I know you would. You should have been here. She would be alive now if you... Get out of my baby's room.
First you blame little Laura, now me.
It was your fault. You want me to believe it was my fault?
It's nobody's.
Get out. Just get out.
That's pretty out of control. And then they go to the lighthearted shtick with Garvey and Charles, which
right.
is
I was
funny.
Like, wow, that's so...
And they're cracking up.
Unaware of what's about to come.
Yeah, it's totally strange. I think I'm going to cut to the Carolyn trying to visit, which is the most inappropriate decision of all time.
Like that Father Merrin again. Hey, Charles, I got a great idea. Send your wife out there to talk to Pazuzu. You know,
Carolyn, you know, she's just so sweet and so nice. And her daughters were with Ellen when she died. So it's just kind of... It's just... There's not one more inappropriate thing to do. I mean, where's Miss Beadle?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Or the doc, you know? How about that? He could show up for the funeral. He can't get involved anymore.
Was he at the funeral?
Yes.
Okay.
He was there for the buffet. He loves the lasagna. So yeah, I'm gonna play the
which
Carolyn
one?
Visiting.
Where the husband gets ousted, or just where she's trying to talk to.
Where she knocks on the door and says, "It's Carolyn."
Okay.
It's like she's probably coming with another basket of eggs or something. The brown one, summer double yolk. But here we go.
Cal,
Mrs. Ingalls.
The Reverend wanted me to stop by.
I'm afraid you'd be wasting your time, Mrs. Ingalls. She doesn't want to talk any sense. She told me to get out.
She didn't mean that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going. I'm not that strong, Mrs. Ingalls. I'm tired. I gotta get over this thing, too.
So what I don't get is he's just leaving. It's like, that's your farm.
The girl's dead. Nothing keeping us together. See ya.
Yeah. Like,
I don't need this.
Don't forget to feed the chickens. Like, I don't.
I'll be over at my cousin Clay's if Eloise needs me. Get up.
I'm going to let it play through where Carolyn knocks on the door. You know, we talked about this in the past, and it's a little inappropriate. But, you know, Carolyn really fills out one of these dresses very nicely.
She does.
It's unlike many of the other women. I mean, Mrs. Beadle's okay.
But no. No.
No?
No. Ew.
Wait, which one's Mrs. Beadle?
The school teacher.
Not Almanzo's sister.
No, but the other school teacher who looks 50 years old.
No. You're wrong here. You're absolutely
Miss
wrong.
Beadle.
Yeah. She wears lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena.
But, you know, I don't know. I think that maybe, Caroline is, you know, trying to put her nose where it really doesn't belong here. So let's see how she gets treated.
I told you to go and not come back. Eloise, it's Carolyn. I thought we could talk for a while. Eloise?
Your family, to your children. You're not welcome here.
Go home, bake bread.
I thought that this confrontation could have been more. I was surprised that it ended so quickly.
Yeah,
but,
like, it could have been anything. Like, she could have opened the door and said,
yeah,
get off my property.
Her. Yeah, or something. Like, really, I was surprised when she didn't even get in the door. I just wanted to go back, you know, Cal...
Mm-hmm.
The husband is played by James Wainwright, who is this character actor that you would recognize from every single TV show you watched from the 70s. You know,
really?
He was usually the bad guy, you know, Magnum P.I. Chips. Not sure what he did on Fantasy Island. Vegas. Incredible Hulk. He's usually playing the bad guy. He was on every TV show you watched. And all those TV shows you didn't watch as well. He was actually in the movie with Robin Williams, The Survivors, which is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie.
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. I think it's like his best movie. Robin Williams' best movie.
Well, the same could be said for the actress, Corinne Camacho.
Is she?
She was on every show. In fact, she was recurring on... Oh, what was it? The Rockford Files.
Wow.
Really? I mean, she played three or four different women on that show, but my dad was a big Rockford Files fan, and I recognized her from Rockford pretty quickly. But she was on everything from Magnum P.I., like you said, The Waltons,
Flamingo
T.J. Hooker.
She was born on Halloween. Airwolf.
In certain shots, she's really kind of pretty, too, actually.
Hey, she was in Lottery. Didn't you say Lottery before? Oh, no, you said Vegas.
Vegas.
Lottery was actually a short-lived TV show. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I don't think so.
They basically, it was about these lottery agents. If you won the lottery, they would visit you, and one was the tax guy, and the other guy was there to give you the money. And in one episode, they accidentally throw away the ticket. So they end the episode with them at the garbage dump going through bags of garbage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a pretty terrible TV show. Anyway.
Well, she was in a lot of genre stuff, like Kolchak the Night Stalker.
That's
the
on
Bionic
Netflix
Woman.
Right now, you know.
It is?
Yeah.
It has been for several years.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's a great show.
Gidget Gets Married, she was on, you know, Manix. The Flying Nun. You know, she got around. A little I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched. Not bad. So you have a little bit, your next clip is...
Well, you think Caroline going out to the house to try and talk to her. How about Laura going out to the house?
Oh my God, what a bad idea, right?
Who, like... Mm-hmm. Like, common sense. Common sense, girl.
Yeah, I mean, the girl died Friday, right? The weekend is now over. It's Monday.
I was wondering what the timeline was here. I guess it was only, like, the next day.
Maybe.
The next day or something, right? Like, the Father Merrin with the Bible, that was the same day. Yeah, I guess it's all been a matter of, like, a day or two.
Right. And just off to school again. No break for you.
No counseling at that school.
No. All right, but here's the next clip.
Come on, Carrie. You can't walk that slow. We'll be late.
Carrie, what's the matter?
I don't want to go.
Why?
I don't have a present.
Oh. Well, I'll tell Miss Beetle this is from both of us.
Hey, that's not fair.
Why?
Now you two are giving her a real present, and I'm just giving her flowers.
Oh, all right. We'll say it's from all three of us.
That's not fair.
What's not fair now, Carrie?
That means Laura's giving her two presents.
Hey, I've got a good idea. Since we're giving one present to Miss Beale, I'll give this to Miss Taylor. She loves flowers.
She doesn't want to see anybody just yet.
Well, if she doesn't, I'll leave them at the door. I'll cut across Busby's and catch up.
Pa doesn't want you going near Busby's.
It's quicker. Besides, you don't scare me.
You see him, you run.
I will.
Now,
who is this Busby? Why is he so high?
Yes, why? Somebody tell us.
I think there was an episode missing somewhere. The Busby episode.
I think I understand Carrie's problem. I think she only has half a tongue. and she can't get the words out.
Well, this is all additional dialogue. You know, like, this isn't recorded when they shot the film. So they're in a studio. That's why they're yelling so much. You know, make it sound like you're outdoors talking to each other. And I think when little kids do that, you have no idea what they're saying.
I think it's more than that. I think she just has a speech impediment.
What do you mean? It's like,
What do you mean? Stop, I don't want
to
make fun
of her. She tries to talk a lot, though, which is what makes it even crazier.
It's deliriously funny.
Let's see. Laura at...
Laura at Pazuzu's house. So here is what happens when Laura goes over there.
Yeah, this is why you don't do this. She's running up to it. And they're a shack of a house that's somehow nicer than the Ingalls house. At least on
every house is nicer than the Ingalls.
Except, I think the outside of their house is really nice. It's just, you go in, there's like half-finished walls. And come on, Pa. You know, like, grab
get on
some,
it.
Yeah.
Taylor?
Mm-hmm. You're knocking so hard that the door flies open.
Miss Taylor? Miss Taylor?
What do you want?
Got you some flowers.
I thought this was a weird shot because the flowers are really blocking her face in part of it, almost like it was supposed to be intentional, and you can't see her expression sometimes. It's kind of weird. And this is where she starts hallucinating. She starts seeing her dead daughter,
Ellen, yeah,
when she would look at
Laura.
And then she goes back, and it's, you know, just stinky old Laura. That music
tells you all you need to know.
Cuckoo.
Hello?
Hey, did I lose you guys?
Yep. It was all broken up.
Well, I can hear it fine, so it's there. Chris, are you still there, Chris?
I'm yes. here.
So both Chris's are there. Alright, let's motor on still.
Silly of me, wasn't it? Always so used to getting up and fixing Ellen's lunch, I... Why did it happen? Why? She was such a good girl. She was such a...
So funny. When they go back to Laura, it's always like, wah, wah. You know, that's not real. And she always, they go right to her face, and it's always the face of disappointment. Yeah.
I better go to school.
Laura, I wonder if you could do me a favor before you go.
Sure.
Well, I haven't been eating proper, but with your visit and the flowers, I kind of got my appetite back.
I'll be happy to fix you something.
No, I wouldn't want you to be late for school. I'm feeling kind of weak, and I just wondered if you'd fetch some apples out of the root cellar.
Oh, yes.
Don't fall for it.
Thank you.
If anybody ever opens up a trap door...
with and a ask ladder you to go down.
And says, can you go down there and get me some whatevers? Just don't do it. Oh my god. Who has root cellars? It's so creepy. I guess it's just a cellar.
Be careful. The ladder's steep.
I'll be careful.
The apples are in the corner behind you.
Okay. I see
them. And she lifts up the ladder. Snatches up the flowers, and we find out that what she's going to do is plant these items at, what's the guy's name?
Busby.
At Busby's house. So it's pretty tough. I mean, it's pretty,
That's like intent.
Yeah, and she's doing some scheming there.
And it's just funny, like, how she's doing this, but... Again, when we get to the end, I'm kind of curious to get your reactions on that. Just think about that root cellar for a second. First of all, that looked pretty big.
Yeah.
And two, they had to have, like, dug that out themselves and finished that themselves, too.
Well, if you remember the Carrie episode, they, and I said this in a private message I sent you the other day when I was doing digging in my backyard. Those guys dug a 30-foot hole. 30 feet is the height of, like, my house. And in one evening, you have, like, what, like, six guys digging a 30-foot hole.
Yeah.
If you're going to dig out, what would that be, maybe? An 8-foot hole?
Yeah. Okay,
it's no big deal.
Like, enough for a grave, maybe.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just... And I guess it's just dirt. You know, that's what a cellar is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. All right, so here's our next clip, which is Charles goes to the mother's house.
Look, I'll give you a ride out in the wagon.
Thanks.
Miss Taylor? Mary said Laura was coming out here for a visit. Is she still here?
Well, she hasn't been by. At least wise that I know of. I've been sleeping most of the morning. She might have knocked, but I didn't hear.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's get on over to Busby's.
Get up!
And there.
I mean, he doesn't even he buys that hook, line, and sinker, like, without the slightest bit of...
But kind of like, why shouldn't he?
Because she was crazy and blaming her daughter.
That's true. She was a little too happy. It's like, no, yeah. Mr. Ingalls, as a matter of fact, no, I haven't seen her.
Busby, let's get over there.
Yeah, let's go get the village idiot.
So we find Busby, like, reading, like, a kid's book and making these expressions of, like, ooh, that's great.
Right, I mean, so I think he's a simpleton.
I guess he is a simpleton.
Yeah.
He's got the biggest, like, drunk nose you've ever seen.
Holy cow, he could... The entire village of Walnut Grove could fit in that nose. Holy cow.
Just imagine how much alcohol he's imbibing out there.
He's a huge guy, though.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, his hands, everything. He's just a huge, huge guy.
If you take a look at his... I never saw this guy before, or I don't think I did. I can't remember. But his IMDb, I mean, he was in, like, so much of... He was in Chatterbox. He was in...
The House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses, American Pop. He was in that Vonnegut adaptation with Jerry Lewis, Slapstick of Another Kind. So I Married an Ex-Murderer.
Right.
Everything Jesus. Is a one-off role. There's no...
I know, but still, like, yeah. I never saw this guy before.
Me either, and I would remember him.
He's got, like, a creepy look.
He has a little bit of an Andre the Giant look to him.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, he's huge, and he's got this really red drunk nose that they couldn't put enough makeup on to cover.
Now I was gonna play the Put This On, I Love You Mama, but that's a very, very long clip.
It is. It was just the music and everything about the scene. Again, I just wanted to underline the trauma that Laura must be going through.
Well, I think I'm going to jump to, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump to the Olsen Mercantile.
Yep.
But as you'll see, she's fully unraveled.
Right.
She now has her daughter back, sort of. And I think, thank goodness for Mrs. Olsen, right? So here's that clip.
Well, good morning, Miss Taylor.
Something wrong?
Why, no.
Let's see. I need some candles.
Certainly.
Oh, no. No, birthday candles. 12, please. Well, you do have them, don't you?
Yes, certainly.
Must be a very expensive doll.
Oh, yes, it is.
How much is it?
$4.
Oh, my. Mm. No matter. I'll take it. They're only little girls such a short time. Can't hurt to spoil them some. She's such a sweet child. She brought me the most beautiful flowers yesterday. Oh, you needn't wrap it. I'll do it when I get home. How much would that be altogether?
$4.24.
Here we are.
2 cents a candle? Even I think that's a little bit high.
I knew you were going to say that.
That is a chunk of change.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, the oven that Laura bought was $7.60.
Yes, that's right.
So $4, it's pretty nice.
Sometimes I don't think that they got the... no one sat down with an inflation calculator. And
yeah, I don't think so at all.
Looked at the pricing, because it is all over the place when you start to run the equivalency.
Well, we talked about this in one of the episodes where we were talking about the money that Charles would get from his harvest. And what was it, like $2,600?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be the richest person on the planet?
Certainly in that town.
I mean, he could buy 700 of these dolls.
Right, but keep in mind, that was, wouldn't that amount to like a year's wage? I mean, or the better part of a year, because it was their
once a
year crop. You know, that had to keep them for until the next time they could.
You're right. And he probably had to pay back, like, you know, the seed money and all that. So yeah, and the money had to go towards buying seed for next season.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sure spending it quick.
Right away.
New dresses for the girls, new dishes. Nothing for Carrie.
New boots.
Carrie can have the old ones. But, all right.
Thank you, Mrs. Olsen.
That. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Harriet's barely in this episode, or really anyone else are in these episodes. Like, there's no Nellie in the background or Willie.
Nope.
There's really no comedy, you know? Seems kind of strange that none of the other school children would be at the funeral, but...
But they discover, like, Laura's things over at Busby's place.
Right.
So Charles brings out the vigilantes.
Right. I'm sorry, hold on.
Did they have torches?
They had torches, because they're waiting around his house and it goes into nighttime at one point, doesn't it?
You just have the shoot, they shoot Busby.
Yeah, again, there's like nothing to, there's no clip there. I mean, they just, they see him, and Cal is the one who does the shooting.
Now, he shoots him, I think, to keep him quiet, because he knows that his wife has Laura, somehow.
No, I don't think he knows that. I don't think he knows.
Why else would he have shot him?
Because I think deep down, he's like, I want to kill your child, Ingalls. Because he says, at one point, he brings Ingalls home, and he says, hey, Ingalls, at least you have hope. It would have been my girl's 12th birthday tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? I didn't catch
tomorrow.
That.
Tomorrow. So I think, like, deep down, Cal really wants to, like, just see Laura die.
You know, you might have a point. I really kind of thought Cal was taking it a lot easier than his wife, and he is. But, no, you make a very good point. So I'm going to go to the next clip, which is the delicious-looking birthday cake. A little lopsided. It's okay. I mean, it's really handmade, and you know. Now, I think, by the way, Laura's hair is now fashioned in a similar way to Ellen's, and I think it's a good look for her.
Long hair without those pigtails.
Yeah, well, I think this is the season where you're starting to see Laura become like prettier. Like, she's not so geeky looking. Like she's she's just kind of evolving into a regular, maybe softer tomboy. While before it was like, ugh, what's going to go on with this girl? You know, one way or the other.
The mysterious unseen orthodontist has visited Walnut Grove.
Yeah. She definitely got some serious tooth correction between season 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so here's that scene.
There. Now make a wish before you blow them out. Go ahead.
If we both close our eyes, we'll both get a wish.
Oh, but it's your birthday.
Please. I want you to have a wish too, Mama.
Laura getting clever.
Yeah.
Now, let me see.
Now, the mom is pretty quick. Did you catch that? Like, the mom is running really fast.
Mm-hmm. Especially with that dress on.
Yeah, seriously. I thought she was going to slap her.
I would have appreciated that.
I think a slap would have been somewhat appropriate. And I'll tell you why. Because the reality here is she's blaming Laura.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if she slapped her, she could acknowledge that she's mad and she hit her. And it's just a little bit of revenge. It's harmless.
Miss Taylor, Ellen's dead.
So the music,
the church bells.
Yeah, it's like she's seeing the light or something. Like now she's seeing Jesus. She's
going
to become a.
Yeah, maybe she's a born again Christian.
Exactly.
She may as well talk to Reverend Alden. That's probably the only mental health counseling anyone's going to get in Walnut Grove.
You mean Flinchy Magoo? Bible, you know, the bruised
I'm so
neck.
So sorry, I didn't mean to throw the Bible at you.
It's okay, my what would he call her? My sister? No. My child.
My child. I was really upset by that really pat ending that they throw in there, and the show throws in a little too much religion sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they really do shove it down your throat for the first couple seasons, and then this one. Do we know when this aired?
I do
77?
Not.
No, what was the date?
Oh. September 26th, 1977.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, there was really no reason for religion in September. You know, I would think that maybe this, if this aired around, you know, Christmas time, yeah, maybe Easter. Yeah, Easter might be good, you know, about the resurrection and zombie Jesus and stuff. So, you want to, I'm going to play the last clip, which makes zero sense. Actually, you didn't clip this.
I did not, because...
But it still makes zero sense. Busby is...
Who had been shot, and we thought mortally.
I thought he was dead. Did you?
I thought he was going to die.
He lost too much blood.
But hey, that pedophile that everybody's been afraid of, hey, Laura went to go visit and wants to be friends with him.
Right. It makes no sense. But so here it is.
Mr. Busby?
He's like, you're not going to shoot me again, are you?
Seriously.
My pommy wants you to have this.
And he sounds like Andre the Giant.
He does.
And when he picks up this book, holy cow, his hands are huge. I have to just kind of, I want to point out that Laura's hair really is so much lighter than it's ever been. Do you remember Sun In, that spray from the 80s?
You guys are
trendsetters, yeah.
I still use Sun In.
Do you really?
I do.
I didn't even know they still made it. And that's what it looks like. Because I remember I used it, and, you know, Christopher, you know I have pretty dark hair. That, and it turned my hair like red. Like, it was just like, what the hell? It's bizarre. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that she definitely had it lightened. That's just my comment of the week.
We want to be your friends, if you want us to. Well, I gotta go to school. See ya.
Can you go down my root cellar?
See ya.
In front of his house, he has like all these skinned animals.
Yeah. Oh, it's if he is fascinated by a picture book, a children's picture book.
Well, it's 1870s.
I know, but so we're suggesting he has a limited intelligence,
right?
So how does he take care of himself? Like, I just don't understand this character. He's got to eat. He's got to make money. He's a hunter, I guess.
He grew up in this house, you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
I guess if Jason can grow up in the woods by himself without his mother.
But all in all, this was a depressing episode.
it's a great episode because it shows off all the strengths and faults of this series. That's why I picked.
Bizarre.
All right, let's do Carrie's Dreamland next.
No, well, what did we choose the next episode?
We did not. We should let... Hello?
Do we lose anyone here?
The stream crapped out for a second.
Oh, sorry. So, I was saying Blizzard, but I said to Chris... Yeah, it's also depressing. So, how about something more uplifting? So,
yeah,
I was saying
a funny one
to Mr. Cooling, if he wants to choose... the next episode, but if you can kind of, you know, think of something a little happier.
Do I have to pick it now?
Yes. Oh, no, you don't have to. But, you know,
What is a happy one? I would have thought you liked all the depressing...
I do, but the goal...
Well, I think things definitely lighten up once Andy Garvey shows up later than this season. Mm-hmm. Actually, in just a couple of episodes, I think.
Well, what about even the talking machine? Or that stuff is pretty funny. Where, you know, Laura's humiliated.
Ouch.
What else? I mean, there's a ton of lighthearted episodes. I think, right? I mean, it's not all misery.
There are. There's the ones where Albert becomes a werewolf.
Yeah, but those are very lame. Oh,
though that's.
There's the Creeper of Walnut Grove.
Yeah, you know what? The Creeper is. That's depressing, though. That episode.
Which one is that?
It's the one where the guy's dad is dying, or he's sick, or something. And he's always stealing pies.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know what? We'll work on this.
Wah, wah.
I'd say choose like maybe. Choose something interesting, but maybe a Willy or a Nelly episode.
Does Willy ever get an episode? I don't think so.
Later on, there's stuff here and there. I mean, when him and Albert were smoking the clay pipe, yeah, they burned down the barn.
That's a funny episode.
Hilarious. Then there's the episode where Nels is having an affair. That's funny.
You know, I only saw parts of that. I would like to see that one.
Harriet's Happenings.
Nels joins Ashley Madison.
Exactly, Richard Bull. But yeah, what about Harriet's Happenings?
That's a good one.
Yeah, or The Banker, that's not a bad one.
What's The Banker?
The new banker comes to Walnut Grove and he's super grumpy, befriends Laura, and he thinks that the only reason why she began befriending him is because he's the banker and Pa wants a loan.
Ebenezer Sprague?
Yes, is that the episode?
I think so.
Something like that. But all right. I think about it. We'll get on it. But thank you guys for getting together this evening. This is the longest episode to date, 1 hour and 7 minutes, 8 minutes. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Ciao.
All right, we'll see you. Awesome.